My clicker works. So my name's Spencer Harbour. I'm from Edinburgh in the United Kingdom. I'm just a SharePoint architect, and there's a bunch of alphabet soup there that nobody cares about. My contact details at the top. If there are questions or considerations we don't have time to cover today, feel free to contact me, and I'll follow up with you after the event. So the agenda for this morning's session is we'll talk a little bit about identity management. We always have to cover this when we're talking about any kind of synchronization or import activity, because fundamentally this is the practice discipline that will make or break our deployment, regardless of any technology issues we might face with whatever tools we're using. Then we'll talk a very little bit about the architecture of the user profile service application itself. Again, something that's very important to us when we're planning our deployments, that to make sure we understand this so that we understand the design constraints and other things we need to keep in the back of our mind as we go forward with the deployment. Then we'll spend quite a bit of time on a new mode, if you like, within the user profile service application called Active Directory Import, which is new in SharePoint 2013. Also cover some of the changes made in the user profile synchronization capability in terms of performance and reliability there. We'll talk a little bit about how we provision the user profile service application and the sync service instance via PowerShell, a big sort of pain point in the field. There'll be a reasonably large demonstration, I hope, which should take up a fair chunk of time towards the end. And we just have to see how that one goes. I haven't actually been able to run through this. This is the first time we're doing this live, as it were, so we might have some fun and games. And then we'll wrap up with some sort of broad recommendations at the end. So first thing we need to talk about, as I mentioned, is identity management. This has always been important, but is getting more and more important as the breadth of features in the SharePoint product grow, and most of them now, pretty much all of the features in the product, leverage user profiles in some way, shape, or form. So if we are using user profiles, which we pretty much have to for the features we're interested in, we're in the identity management business. How many of you here would class yourselves as an identity management consultant? Yeah, hardly anybody, right? But this is the business we're in, whether we like it or not. And, you know, because so much now in SharePoint relies on the profiles, it becomes a bigger impact. Now, the trouble with this thing is it's fundamentally a political endeavor. It doesn't matter what tools we get from which company, the tool's only going to help us a little bit. This is predominantly a political exercise. So we do need to sort of get used to dealing with this and improve our consulting skills in the identity management space. Now, this isn't an hour and a half on identity management, thankfully, but we highlight a few key considerations. The first thing we need to understand is this, right? The technology is a tiny piece of this. It's all the other things we need to think about are far more important. I can give you a solid example here. Back in 1997, 98, I worked for an energy company, and we did a deployment of a thing called Zoomit Via for that company, which is a meta directory. That project took 18 months. The deployment of the Zoomit Via product and its configuration took 2 weeks. And that's basically how it goes every time you do one of these types of engagements. So what are our considerations? What are the kind of things we need to worry about? Ownership is easily, by far and away, the biggest sort of point of contention, pain here. You know, if we're synchronizing data from various different systems, like a HR system for a personnel ID, there might be some line of business systems elsewhere for cost centers and things like that, there's going to be a battle of the ownership of that data. You know, which department in the organization is responsible for it? You know, are they willing to even open that up to access? You know, usually if the IT department asks the HR department to allow access to their super data, you know, the answer is going to be the same one that you get from a professional security consultant, right? No, that's the default answer. So these kind of cultural things in the organization are very important. And this actually is getting a bigger problem as companies move to outsource the ownership of some of their supporting infrastructure as well. So assume we've dealt with that problem and got everybody in the company to agree that we can use the data. We then have to worry about the data itself. You know, if we're going to make decisions based on the user profile properties manager property, you know, we need that manager property to be there. How many of you here from Microsoft? Quite a few of you. How many of you have recently changed manager? Yeah, the same hands, right? So the data, you know, the data can be there, but it needs to be up to date, it needs to be relevant. Otherwise, the tooling and things like search that make choices based on that data are going to fall apart, right? Then we also have the system quality. This one is a little bit more technical, but it tends to be driven by organizational aspects. So if we are going to do a large-scale deployment of SharePoint and we're going to use Active Directory for our profile synchronization, you know, we're going to have to understand the in-place health of the existing Active Directory. Most Active Directory environments have grown organically over the years, and they tend to be deployed, or elements of it tend to be deployed in a tactical fashion. And, you know, that leads to, you know, what we might term a poor Active Directory platform for, as far as our identity management concerns are concerned. Also, think about line of business systems. A lot of this critical user-based information, things like cost centers and personnel IDs, very often are living in a very old line of business system, which isn't well maintained, is probably still running on some NT4 server somewhere. You know, it's creaking. And it's very easy to knock that system out of service when you, you know, synchronize with that data. So these things are pretty important to bear in mind as we go through the planning of which systems we're going to talk to get the information from. And then we need to worry about how we're going to control that access to those systems. So not all of these external systems are going to support the type of authentication we want to use when we're performing the synchronization activities. It's also not just about access control, but certainly about agreeing the time when things are going to happen, if there's any necessary bridges in between the two systems that might make it work better, caching and so forth. And we're predominantly talking about systems that are external to SharePoint here. So those are the sort of top four most common problems in identity management. When we apply this a bit more directly to SharePoint, this is our sort of number one recommendation, or perhaps the most important takeaway from this entire session, is we have to be friendly with those weirdos that look after our Active Directory. Right. How many of you here are AD admins and I've just insulted you? Okay, that's good, not a few of you. I noticed when I said the second part of that question, more hands went up, so that's kind of funny. We really have to get on with these guys. This can make or break your SharePoint deployment, or at least the ones that are leveraging these social capabilities to any degree. This is especially true if Active Directory is managed externally, you know, so you've outsourced the management of the AD. We've got to be in regular conversations with these teams. We need to be aware of what each other are doing. If they're applying Windows updates to domain controllers, we need to know about that, because that might be happening right in the middle of trying to attempt to synchronize 100,000 user profiles. If you think about those four boxes, and I was talking about data quality, if we do an exercise within an organization to review data quality, there's going to be a recommendation off the back of that, and usually it's going to involve some program of work to do some data cleansing, make sure, you know, and population. The end result of that is going to be somebody somewhere is going to try and do a bulk update of the directory with that new data. And again, that's obviously not the time that we want to be performing a synchronization. We also need to worry about the change control aspects for our prerequisites. You know, we have a couple of permissions that are necessary to do profile synchronization, and it can be quite a challenge to get those permissions granted. I presume many of you have had this situation where you have it, you know, we don't manage Active Directory, we have to ask somebody else to provide this permission for us, this thing called replicating directory changes. And I'm quite often in a situation where I'm having to write an email on behalf of a customer to get this done for me, and the reply I get back from a lot of DS admins is, what's replicating directory changes, right? So then you have to actually explain to them what it is so that they can, you know, provide it for us before we can get started. So these things are, you know, this is purely a communication consideration, and it's quite easy to deal with this problem, but we have to do it up front, you know, in the early days of the project. Otherwise, it will continue to be a thorn in our side as we attempt to do more interesting things later on. Okay. So let's now move, you know, a bit more towards the SharePoint specifics. And I just want to spend a few moments talking about the user profile service application architecture. We have, you know, noticed some very, you know, clear lessons from the field in terms of the deployment since the release of SharePoint 2010. And by far and away, the biggest problem is a, you know, poor understanding of the architecture of the UPA itself. You know, there's a lot of moving parts involved here, and we can't really make design decisions about how we're going to deploy if we don't understand these architectural capabilities, but also the design constraints. How many of you here are a multinational company with farms in more than one place? Yeah, quite a lot of you. So you will have all came up against, you know, a key decision there, where you're going to host the user profile service application across your estate. And to make the right choice there, you know, involves a lot of compromises, a lot of trade-offs. And so it's key that we, you know, we have this background on the UPA. How many of you were in Chris Gideon's session on the, you know, the social architecture earlier this week? Good, yeah. So these are the kind of things I'm talking about that are critical to understand here. And then there's a planning aspect, and this is really more a business planning aspect, right? We can do a bunch of things as IT pros. We can give a bunch of advice in terms of, you know, the identity management aspects, but fundamentally it's up to the customer to take care of, you know, these four key areas of planning for user profiles. You know, which profile properties are going to be exposed to whom, you know, what kind of policy is applied to that? Do we have any acceptable use scenarios that we need to worry about? What about regional regulations and so on and so forth? Then the last one, operations, is really the one that bites us. We only start to, you know, have problems after the thing's been running for a couple of weeks, and then we, you know, you're struggling because you've got to keep the service operational whilst trying to troubleshoot the problem. And then we see more and more now the supporting infrastructure for user profiles and indeed the related service applications are quite often not considered, you know, holistically enough in this space. So, you know, one of the biggest example or biggest causes of slow profile synchronization performance is the SQL Server that's hosting the free UPA databases, is shared with, you know, the ones that are hosting the content databases and everything else. So, that supporting infrastructure doesn't have the horsepower to get the throughput necessary to do, you know, really quick profile sync. And we see that, you know, over and over again. You know, SharePoint Server 2013 introduces even more things to think about here around, you know, distributed caches, our implementation of Velocity that allows us to improve the amount of profile data we can cache close to the web applications. And then obviously the related service applications, you know, the SharePoint Server Search for our people search, the managed metadata for taxonomic properties, and BDC if we want to speak to a line of business system. So there's quite a lot to think about here. Then there's all trade-offs between each of these. Certainly things like search, they're a very complex beast in their own right, and we're adding that into this equation. So very important that we have that holistic view of the deployment rather than just focusing in on, you know, synchronizing profiles. Okay, so from the point of view of SharePoint 2013, what were the goals in terms of profile sync? So there's three, you know, pillars, if you like, here, things that were goals for the new capabilities. The first one, of course, is performance. We want to be able to enable large companies to be able to perform a full sync of their, you know, their AD corpus, for lack of a better term, and the SharePoint data, you know, over a weekend, so you can get up and running quickly. We don't want this guy to be, you know, taking weeks to run. Then we could, you know, use some improvements in reliability. Us, from an IT pro perspective, we need to be able to, you know, operate the service, be able to more easily diagnose problems, you know, get the instrumentation that they need to help them to keep the service operational. And have broad compatibility as well, so be able to speak, obviously, to Active Directory, which is the most common deployment, but to have a much, you know, wider compatibility with other LDAP services. So these are the three sort of driving factors behind the changes in 2013. So we've got some performance improvements, and now the purple box here is very much a goal, right? So it's kind of already spoken about this, but to reduce the time for that first full import, you know, to a couple of days or 3 days for the very large directory. Now, when I say on the slide there, extremely large directory, what that really means is, you know, hundreds of thousands of users, but more importantly, hundreds of thousands of groups, okay? Because it's the group membership that is the, you know, biggest factor in increasing the time to sync. So some of the things that have been done to, you know, help reach that goal are listed on this slide. Now, I won't talk about all of these, but things like the BDC import is now batched up, so we're not doing one at a time and doing a connection each time. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we now have the history cleanup, so we no longer have a sync DB that's continually getting, you know, way too big and thus negatively impacting performance. And we have less provisioning runs inside the sync engine as well. So the unnecessary, or the management agent has been changed so that unnecessary sync runs don't take place. And we've also moved some of the object resolution for certain properties away from SharePoint and moved them into the sync engine. So all of these things combine together to improve the profile sync performance for, you know, profile synchronization rather than AD import. Which brings us on to the modes of synchronization. So the new mode, if you like, in this release, it's a little bit of back to the future here. We kind of had this before in a previous version of SharePoint, and then it kind of went away, and now it's back again. But just like back to the future, it's better than it was before. You know, they've added that thing that they put the banana in and it makes the car fly. So this provides us the ability to do a very lightweight LDAP style approach. It's actually, you know, .NET framework system.directory services speaking to Active Directory. But in the name, there's two very important messages. The first one is that this is Active Directory only. You know, this is not going to work against Novell eDirectory or any of those other systems, and it's import only. You may also hear this referred to as direct mode or AD direct. In the UI, the product is called Active Directory Import. Then there's user profile synchronization, the forefront identity manager-based capability, very similar to what we had in SharePoint 2010, with the improvements that I was just talking about on the previous slide. And then we do have the third option, which is custom code, and this is often overlooked. So we've made some improvements in the programmatic capabilities to enable us to do more interesting things in terms of provisioning via custom code. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about this because this is obviously an IT pro session, but this shouldn't be overlooked, certainly in the planning aspects, especially if you're dealing with a large number of line of business systems. This may be, you know, very helpful as part of that project. So let's take a little bit of time and dive a bit deeper into the Active Directory import capability. So the key goal, again, is to get up and running very quickly with Profile Sync or Profile Import for the most common scenario, which is an Active Directory forest. Again, this is import only. How many of you here with 2010, you know, struggled with that initial full import for SharePoint profiles? Yeah. Some of you aren't putting your hands up. I'm not sure if you're awake or not. I can't actually see that far back. But the larger the forest, obviously, the bigger the impact of this. And this capability allows you to really, you know, and hopefully I'm going to be able to show it, get up and running very quickly, and then, you know, potentially later we can think about moving to the more powerful capability of profile synchronization. So we can, you know, select users and groups as you would expect in the same fashion as we do when we create a connection with UPS. We have a similar picker that allows us to select objects. And we can also add to that selection, that route selection, if you like, LDAP queries, which are very commonly called LDAP filters as well. They're actually queries, but never mind. And this gives us back what we had in SharePoint 2007 in terms of being able to constrain the type of objects imported. Now we support, you know, this is for an AD forest, so we support multiple domains, but there's an important caveat here. Because we are using the, well, it's effectively system.directory services, we need a connection for each domain. So if we have a forest with 10 domains, we're going to need 10 AD import connections. We also support shadow accounts, so if we have, you know, a user domain and a resource domain, we'll create two connections, one for each of the domains, and they'll be linked, hopefully correctly, as shadow accounts in Active Directory, and that will just work in the same way that we had this capability previously in 2007, and also similar to how we do with UPS, where we actually create a specific type of AD logon connection and a resource connection. We can do custom property mappings for simple data types. So simple data types, obviously, is, you know, strings and dates. And we still support account mapping for all of the identity providers that were possible in SharePoint 2010. So, you know, Windows authentication, trusted identity provider, and FBA. So we have, you know, the broadest capability for Active Directory. We're not sort of restricting anything here. We can also use PowerShell commandlets to script the creation of those connections. So the SP profile sync connection commandlets that were introduced in Service Pack 1 for 2010 support the AD import connections creation via PowerShell, which will please quite a lot of people who are in the business of writing provisioning scripts. But remember, this is only for the AD import mode. We still need replicating directory changes. Okay, so we're still going to have to ask that, you know, DS admin guy to give us these permissions. It doesn't, you know, AD import does not take this away. It's still the same story as before here. The need for replicating directory changes might be a challenge, but it actually is a good thing. It improves the efficiency of the import by providing a change log. So fundamentally, this is the right way for this to work. There are some limitations. We cannot do contact resolution across the forest. We cannot map to the SharePoint, or an attribute from Active Directory to the SharePoint system properties. So any of the properties that begin with the prefix SPS dash, we cannot use those to map to an AD attribute. And we cannot obviously leverage the BDC capability, which is part of the user profile synchronization stack. So, you know, if we plan later on to do this, you know, we're going to need to plan for switching modes at some point in the future. We can't do casts here, so we don't want to map a multi-value to a single value or the other way around. You can't have two attributes going to the same property. You know, some of you are probably sort of giggling and saying, well, why would anybody do that? But believe me, we see it quite a lot. And we have our query filters, or LDAP queries, so we can use a traditional LDAP query to constrain the imported objects. This gives us the maximum flexibility. But a key thing to understand with these is that they are inclusion-based, as opposed to the filters in Forefront Identity Manager, which are exclusion-based. So it's the other way around. So it's not going to be sensible or practical to take a filter implementation from, you know, SharePoint 2010 and, you know, come up with a query filter that does the same thing. It would be much more appropriate to go back to the drawing board and do it from scratch with the LDAP query filter, because it's a very different approach to constraining imported objects. As with the user profile synchronization, anytime we perform a configuration change or really a schema change, we're going to need to do a full import. Now, I know some of you have seen me demonstrate the situations where you can kind of semi-get away with an incremental, but it's really just for demonstration purposes. If we're changing property mappings, or we're changing that LDAP query, or adding another couple of OUs to the route selection, we are going to need to run a full import. That's the same as with profile synchronization. And when we run a full import, we should also remember always to run a commandlet, which is going to purge the objects. We see this quite often, that objects are still in the profile store when, you know, they should have been removed based on the changes to the configuration, such as the filter. It's very important to remember to run this commandlet that's on the slide, which will clean up the objects effectively waiting for deletion. Now, a full import, of course, is not or at least inside of SharePoint, is not something that we can schedule. So it's a manual operation to initiate the full sync. So it's not really a big deal that we just have, you know, run this other commandlet immediately afterwards. So the system has been designed to switch from AD import to user profile sync, but we have to understand what that's going to involve. It's not completely automatic thing. When we're running AD import, we're going to store the connections and the filters and all of that configuration in the profile database. And as we'll see in the demo in a little bit, if we're running in AD import mode, we have an empty SyncDB. We haven't even provisioned the service instance that populates that database, so this guy's empty. User profile sync obviously uses the SyncDB, so these things are in a different place, and the system is not, you know, when we change modes, is not going to move that stuff for us. So we're going to need to manually recreate, you know, our connections, our property mappings, and those kind of things, the filters. So, you know, this could be a pretty significant amount of pointing and clicking in central admin, especially the property mappings, right? So you need to, if you're going to be doing this, probably worth thinking about making that process repeatable by using an XML provisioning approach there. That is also very useful for the one thing I know everybody in the room does all the time for every SharePoint project, right? Documentation, right? We need the documentation for all of these profile property mappings. It's probably the most important document as far as the profile capabilities is concerned in the projects, but it's fairly rarely present and correct. So we need to plan this out. We need to understand the constraints here. As I mentioned, the things are stored in different databases. If we actually go to user profile sync and then decide, well, actually, you know, we didn't want that after all, let's go back to AD import, the old connections will still be there, but of course there'll be so much time between those two things that they probably need updated anyway. So make sure we understand this constraint. It really is, the idea is to move from AD import to UPS, you know, not to be able to just switch every couple of weeks, on a whim. This is to get up and running quickly, you know, use AD import and then move to UPS. So let's switch over and talk to the provisioning of both the service application itself and the profile synchronization engine. Obviously, we could go in and run the farm configuration wizard and everything's going to work for us, you know, perfectly every time, right? No, no, that's not right. Don't want to use that guy, certainly not for this. And, you know, we can obviously do it via managed service applications. We create the stuff through the user interface. How many of you would prefer to do it with Windows PowerShell? Yeah, so about half of you. So that's as expected. This is, you know, there's certain situations where we simply must use PowerShell, otherwise we won't be able to achieve what we want. And obviously there's the benefits in terms of automation and repeatability and so forth. But the problem with this is we still have the default schema issue. So what is the default schema issue? Basically, what happens is if we attempt to run a PowerShell session as anybody other than the farm account and run the new, you know, SP, whatever the commandlet is for the UPA, and create the UPA, it will incorrectly configure the default schema in the sync database. And the impact of that is we will never be able to get UPS running. It will just, it won't start. It's impossible until we fix this issue. So the potential workaround here is you log on to the machine, to the server, right, as the farm account, and then you run the PowerShell session as that interactive logon. That's a very bad idea, because if you get into the habit of using the farm account to do things, these are the kind of problems that happen, right? Because everything is going to work as the farm account. I've got a tip that I use in the MCM. If you want everything to always work all the time, just use the domain administrator, right, as the farm account. And then your life is good, right? So we don't, you know, we don't want to be in the habit of using this system account to perform management and operational activity, because you will get different behavior. An alternative to that is we could go into SQL Server, open up the owned schemas for that user, and make the change in there. It takes like 2 seconds. But that's an unsupported change, right? We're manually changing the database schema. So that's not something that we should be doing, or it's definitely not something we should be recommending. So we can work around this by leveraging some non-SharePoint Windows PowerShell commandlets. If we're not running user account control in the server farm, we can use get credential to effectively simulate what central admin does. So we get the credentials of the farm account, and then we run start job, and that will work. If we are in a UAC environment, we need to use a different commandlet called start process and tag this with the run as, so that we force user account control to request our permission to make the change. Now, let's be clear here. Whichever one of these we choose, we are still running that commandlet under the context of the farm account. It's the only way to get this working without, you know, fiddling with SQL Server. Okay, so let's switch over to my demo machine, and we'll look at some of the things that I've been talking through. Hopefully this will come up. Aha. Okay, I have a very simple environment here. On my laptop, it's basically a domain controller, a SQL server, and one machine running SharePoint 2013. Now, I've deliberately put this demo together in a way, a sort of contrived way, to show you most of the things that I've been talking about. It's not the order that you would do it in the real world, right? It's the order that's appropriate to be able to show all of the things in the time constraints we have this morning. So, you know, I've got a fairly basic environment at this point. I don't have a user profile service application up, but I do have my core services, so state, usage, and so on. But I do have a managed metadata service app here, which is a default configuration. And this is actually an important thing to note in terms of profile import time. There's certain profile properties that by default out of the box are taxonomic properties. When we create a managed metadata service in 2013, it's going to automatically create these three term sets that will be leveraged by the taxonomic property. If we just so happen to have the data in the AD attributes that are going to go into that term set, that's going to significantly impact your sync time, right? Because it's also going to be writing the values to these term sets. And otherwise, I just have, you know, the basic services running, so the web app service and so on. So the first thing I need to do is start the user profile service instance. This is very straightforward. There's nothing exciting happening here. I just simply, you know, get the type of service instance that I'm interested in, and then I start it and I wait until it's provisioned. I'd always recommend you start the user profile service instance before you create the service application. It doesn't have to be done in that order, but that would be my recommendation. It's going to save you a couple of IIS resets. Okay, so it's telling me it started. I'll trust that. The next thing that I need to do effectively is create the user profile service application. Because of that farm account issue that I mentioned, the default schema issue, this is the point where I must do some additional work, right? I need to make sure that farm account has the permissions on the machine for that user account control request. So I need to add the farm account to the local admins on the machine. And, you know, this, a lot of people complain about this, but I'm going to have to do this to start user profile synchronization later anyway. So my farm account is imaginatively titled SP Farm. We'll just add that guy in there. And I'm going to restart the timer service on the machine to simulate logging off the farm account and logging back on. Now, here's something that we should get into the habit of doing. The number of times I've helped people with this and I've, you know, they've had a problem, they've emailed me, it's stuck on starting, and I've said, had you added the farm account to the local admins? And they're like, yeah, absolutely, we did that. And then, you know, a week later, it turns out, oh, no, it actually wasn't, you know. So the issue here is, in most cases, you're going to have to ask somebody else to do that change that I just made, right? It's not something we necessarily can have control of. So in the health analyzer rule definitions, we actually have the very first rule in the list here is going to help us. Because if this guy doesn't generate a warning, we shouldn't attempt to do anything because it won't work, right? So until you see this guy complaining, there's no point in proceeding. So if we run this, eventually when that's finished, you know, I'll get a yellow warning up here, and if I went into that, it would tell me that the farm account is in the local admins. So it proves to me that I've, you know, have the necessary permissions. So the next step is to then create the user profile service application itself. And this is the kind of workaround that I was talking to on the slide. So what I'm doing here in the first couple of lines there is I'm grabbing a reference to another file, an external file. Then I'm getting the farm account, and then I'm going to get the credentials for it. So it's going to prompt me for the password of the farm account. And then it's going to create a new process under user account control elevation. And it's simply a question of, you know, calling start process here with the script file, the external file, and then tagging run as on the end here. So my script file is the same old stuff that you'd be familiar with. So the name of the UPA, the name for each of the databases, and so on. So this is kind of the moment of truth, as it were. we run this. So the first thing that's happening is it's prompting me for the farm account password. It starts the process, and this is the point where user account control is kicking in and asking me for permission to make those changes. If you see a password prompt here again, then the farm account is not in the local admins. So you want this to be a yes or no prompt. And if I click yes, this is going to go ahead and over the next couple of minutes create the user profile service app for me. Famous last words. Oh, there you go. Looks like it's doing something now. If I have a quick look on my SQL server, I should see the databases come in here slowly. Yeah, so it's doing it, so we should be good. It's taking a little bit longer than I had liked. As you can see here, this is the SyncDB. So all we've done at this point, if we've created the service application, we haven't started the user profile synchronization instance. And this guy is empty. Right? There's no database in there. There's no stored procedures. So this will remain empty until we choose to use the user profile synchronization capability and provision that guy. Okay, so it looks like it's finished over on the SharePoint machine. Just refresh this and attempt to manage it. No IIS reset necessary, right? The golden rule with SharePoint is to step away from the keyboard, right? If you just wait a little bit longer, life will be good. There is no requirement to run IIS reset after creating this guy. So at this point, you know, I'm good, but I'm going to follow another best practice, which is to configure my NetBIOS domain name. So in my environment here, the domain is corp.contoso.com. So the NetBIOS name for this, you know, my demo environment has obviously been around. You know, it used to be NT4. I've upgraded it to Windows 2000 and now to Server 2012. And so the NetBIOS name is Contoso. Now, I'm going to do AD import first, and AD import doesn't really care about those names not matching because we're just simply using the .NET class to do the connection. But because I am going to switch to user profile sync later on, I'm going to set it now. And the practice should be, if your names don't match, so if the NetBIOS and fully qualified names don't match, always set this property immediately after you create the service application. If you don't do this, and then you perform a synchronization, you can't then run the command and have it fix it up retroactively. So we do this at this stage. Now, this is very simple. You know, we grab the service application, so I'm doing that based on its type name, and then I simply set a single property of it and call update. And I'm going to just validate that that worked. Cool. Okay, so at this point, I'm now going to attempt to configure the Active Directory import. How many of you have already played with AD import in the hands-on labs or at other places? Okay, good. So this won't be a repetitive thing. Okay, so here's my user profile management screen. I'm just going to refresh that because I changed that property and I don't quite trust it. I'm going to go into this third link here, synchronization settings. And this is where the action is, as it were. And within our synchronization options down the bottom here, which we had in SharePoint 2010, of course, we now have a second option in the middle there to use Active Directory import. So I'm just going to choose that. You'll note, obviously, by default, it's set to use profile sync. So it's but it won't do anything until we provision the sync service instance. Okay, and at this point, I'll go ahead and create a sync connection. And this is very similar to what we had in SharePoint 2010. But you'll note my type here is a combo box with one option in it. So it's constraining me to Active Directory import only. I'll go ahead and type in my my name here for the connection and the fully qualified domain name. So remember, this doesn't really care about the NetBIOS thing. Then we can select how we want to do authentication to that directory. So the same options that were listed on the slide. We're not, you know, restricting any options here. Obviously, bear in mind that forms authentication isn't actually forms auth. It's an LDAP simple bind. But as far as the UI is concerned, that's forms auth. And we'll add in my account here, which in my environment is called SPUPS, and the password, which you can all probably guess, but we won't go there. And we have a couple of little options here, which are a little bit hidden. The first one is we can choose to filter out disabled users. So it's just a checkbox, right? We don't have to worry about, you know, translating a bit clause. Yeah, okay, come on, I love it. I have no responsibility for any of these things whatsoever, but I'll take the applause. And then the second text box there is nice and big and allows us to enter in an LDAP query, which can constrain our imported objects. So I have one already sort of pre-canned here, if I can find the right file. Now, before I do this, let me just switch over to the domain controller and show you what's in my domain. So I've got an OU here called SharePoint Users, and within that OU, I have five other OUs for some various countries. So I've got Switzerland, Spain, Great Britain, which actually should be the UK, but we'll just overlook that, Sweden, and the United States. And within each of those OUs, I've got, you know, 3,000 users or thereabouts, roughly, right? So there's about 12,326 users in my Active Directory. And, you know, I've populated the data in here with dummy data for the various properties and so on. Now, I've also got a group here called Fabricam users. Now, you know, the reason they're in this domain is because they, you know, they brought Fabricam. Contoso brought Fabricam, but then after a while they'd realized that Fabricam's widgets weren't any good, so they got rid of them. But they've still got the objects in AD because they thought if they deleted the users, then, you know, people wouldn't be able to access the documents anymore on the backup of the file share. So they're keeping the accounts in AD, you know, because they think they need to. So we want to make sure that these accounts are not included in our profile import. Now, in each of the OUs as well, if we scroll down a little bit here, I know the icon is very small and hard to see, but these accounts are disabled as well. So we're going to try and exclude both the people who are in the Fabricam users group, but also the disabled accounts. So that's this query here, very simple LDAP query. I'm basically getting objects of the class of type user, and then I'm doing the member of, and then the distinguished name of that group there. But you'll notice the exclamation mark at the start of that means I'm reversing it. So this is excluding those users. This filter basically says every user who is not in that group. Okay? That's not a particularly efficient way to do things, right? But it's useful to demonstrate the broad capability. One thing we should do is take that query and load up a tool called ADSI Edit here, which is included on every Windows Server machine. We'll connect to the domain. And if I can find the right place here. Which I can't. Seems to have vanished. Interesting. Hmm. What I should be able to do is create a new query direct. Oh, there you go. Sorry. And, you know, I should be testing what I'm going to do in SharePoint here to see whether I'm getting the right objects back, right, before I go ahead and configure it in SharePoint and hit that full sync, which is then going to take, you know, 20 minutes. So I can use this to validate exactly what I'm going to do in SharePoint. It'll actually bring back more objects than I want, but we should get into the habit of testing this capability, especially if you get more and more complex filter. Okay, so I'm going to choose to filter out disabled users, and I'm going to add this in here. Obviously, you know, you need to be a little bit careful with the text box we have there. Choose populate containers. Again, this is very similar to SharePoint 2010. I'm just going to select the root object here, which is SharePoint users. Click OK to save it. See how much quicker it is at doing that than it is at saving a sync connection. I didn't even get time to take the Mickey out of their little animation there. And if I go in here to try and edit the connection filters, it's going to tell me you can't do that because we're in AD import mode. Cool. So if I go ahead and run a full sync now, it will fail. And the reason it will fail is because I don't have replicating directory changes. Yeah, so this screen that I was just in previously to create the connection does not validate that you have the permissions necessary for that account. So another little trick is to run a PowerShell script which will check that your account that we entered in that page has the appropriate permission set. So I've got a little sort of custom function here. I just run this, and down the bottom here in the output, you can see that for that account, you know, I don't have the changes, the replicating directory changes permission on either of the objects I need it. So I'm going to go ahead and do those steps. So obviously, I'm going to do this the same way as we did with SharePoint 2010. Add the account into the delegation of control wizard. Choose custom task. All of the objects. So we have to do this on the domain level. Remember our connection. Even though we selected SharePoint users, the ADSI connection is to the root of the domain. And then I'll choose the replicating directory changes here. And that's all there is to it. So if I switch back over here and run this script again, the first one should turn green. I still haven't done it on the configuration partition. I don't need to until I run user profile sync. So at this point, I can now actually go ahead and choose start profile sync, and then I'm going to choose a full sync and click OK, and it's going to, you know, steam's going to start coming out of the laptop. But what you will notice is over here, and this is very important, as soon as we choose AD import mode, our incremental schedule is every 5 minutes. Okay, you may want to consider changing that default schedule based on, you know, how often your data is changing in AD. And so you can see that it's already running, and up here we have 162 user profiles. If I refresh this, you can see that it's doing about, every time I hit F5 on my keyboard, it's doing about 12 to 16 accounts, which is significantly quicker than, you know, the old user profile synchronization capability. I can also bring up the ULS viewer here, open up the real-time log. And if I filter down on user profiles here, I'll be able to see the activity. And this goes back to the point on the slide about, you know, the operational service and, you know, helping IT pros here. You can see a bunch of exceptions are coming back for each account. And then it says the user profile record of the account name has been updated. Now, those exceptions are because I've got data in AD for which there is no property mapping in my SharePoint system. So, you know, it's an expected thing that this would happen. This is all an example of the kind of things that will decrease the, you know, or sorry, decrease the performance of the import. What I should be doing is planning out my property mappings before I do the import, right? But we can safely ignore these. It's just going to mean it'll be a tad slower because of that. You can see I've got, 957 users now. If I go to the Manage Metadata service, I should see some of the taxonomic properties populated. It won't be all of them, of course, because it's still running through, but if we go to the job title, you can see, we've got a 911 operator. We've got some comedy in here as well. And so you can see that it's pushing those values in, and they're coming from Active Directory, because that's the kind of the sample data that's in my user attributes. Okay, so I'm going to leave this running. It's just coming up to 10 a.m., so I'm going to leave this running and go back to the slides for just like the wrap-up, and then hopefully, in about 10 minutes' time, we'll be done with the 12,000-odd users. Okay, so the main recommendation is the same as it was last year, in fact. We really need to plan this. Most of the problems we suffer where we're dealing with profile synchronization is all around lack of planning. So we need to think, we need to plan, we need to do some more planning, do a little bit more, and then go back to the start and do even more planning. This is so fundamental. Right from the identity management aspects all the way through to the deliberate mistake I just made by running an import before I figured out what I want my property mappings to be, which means I've just made twice as much work for me now in that environment if this was a real world. Our directory service health is fundamental to what we end up with in SharePoint. If we have bad data in AD, we're going to have bad data in SharePoint, and our people search is going to fail, right? Our social distance will fail. Any kind of intelligent decisions made by the system on our behalf will be weak. We'll be getting email, or what I call spam, from parts of the system that we have no interest in, et cetera, et cetera. It impacts so many features now in SharePoint. The kind of things that rely on the profile for basic application authentication, just in terms of the app model, is a significant change. So if we have rubbish coming in, we'll get rubbish out the other end, right? We also need to make sure that our Active Directory platform hygiene is in order, right? Because this is quite a, at least initially anyway, a heavyweight operation, if we're performing this against some old domain controller, which has got 4 gig of RAM and is running 32-bit OS, we are going to have a terrible experience, right? We can't just assume, and we probably shouldn't assume in any situation, that the Active Directory is ready for a SharePoint deployment of any scale, okay? Especially if the Active Directory is externally managed. It's a very good idea to get a new domain controller and stick it right next to the SharePoint farm. And you point the profile import at that DC. Watch out for the changes that may be necessary to support business scenarios. This is an IT pro session, but from a business decision maker perspective, if you're looking at some of the workloads in SharePoint, such as business intelligence and the broader social things, the existing multi-forest, multi-domain world that we live in is not, is not going to help there. One of the things that we would like to recommend for the larger deployments is to engage an Active Directory risk assessment prior to the large deployment of social or anything else that's related to identity in SharePoint. Watch out for the external management of directory services, where that's also not just AD, but the other systems as well. You're going to have to plan around their ability to perform the tasks necessary and any kind of other additional change control that might be in place. And so finally, really the key message in terms of what's new is to leverage the AD import mode to get up and running quickly, and then as and when or if you need the capabilities offered by user profile synchronization, which is predominantly the ability to export properties as well as importing them, but also things like augmenting data from external systems with BCS. That's the point at which you would move to the user profile sync capability. Okay, so I'm going to switch back over here to the demo machine and see how we're getting on. Okay, we've got 4,000. You notice it's actually updating. So this is actually taking a little bit longer than I'd hoped, but we might get there before the end of the session. We've got 15 minutes, so we should be good. But you can see, even just now, even if it stopped here, I've only been talking for 5 minutes since I switched over the machine, and it's doing, it's done roughly 5,000 in that time. So. At this point, what I'd like to suggest, if there are any questions, we can do that now before before we sort of wrap up. There are microphones, sort of. This room, I know, is ridiculously large, so they're quite a long way away from wherever you are, but they're in the middle there. So if you do have questions, please use the microphones. Before we do that, just note that I haven't even started the user profile sync service on this machine, right? So I never get stuck in starting. Right, because you just don't try it, you don't need to start it. Okay, yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hello, how are you? We have an environment with an application vault where our service applications sit, and then a separate application vault where our SQL Server sits. And we recently had another SharePoint environment inside of our network want to consume our user profile service. And we opened the correct ports to the service application, but not to the database. And it really appears that in order to consume the user profile service application, that you have to have access to the database and not the service application. Is that true?
That's correct, yes. Unfortunately, I can't give you a nice answer there. The user profile service makes direct TDS calls from the web server to the back-end SQL database, so the profile database.
And that's still
true in SharePoint 2013.
Okay. And that's the only service application that needs direct access to a database to consume it?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Fundamentally, the service application architecture is there to avoid doing that, right? Because TDS isn't friendly. It's not WAN friendly. It's not firewall friendly, et cetera, et cetera. So there isn't any other service application that has this requirement, but it is a implication of how a lot of the core profile properties are cached in the web application. It's a pretty hard thing to change. So it's not trivial, but that's the background there. Yeah, it is a requirement, I'm afraid. There's no way around that.
Okay. Thanks.
No worries. Okay, so this side.
Can you talk about the batched BDC import improvement in SharePoint 2013?
I'm sorry, could we turn this microphone up, please? I can't hear a word.
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, if you could use the other one, thanks.
Can you talk about batched BDC import in SharePoint 2013, and were there any changes required on the BDC connector to leverage that?
No, there's no fundamental change in how we do augmentation with BDC. We still have the same support for multi-value, single value. There's no significant change in there. The only real change is that we batch the updates rather than doing them one by one. So that's really more just a more efficient way of writing to the profile store. There's no change in terms of how you configure, the external content type and the permissions necessary. That's all exactly the same as SharePoint 2010.
Okay, because I think when we use BDC import to augment the user profiles, we kind of fetch the record from the BDC connector one by one.
Yes. So the retrieval. You could actually trick it to do a batch. So that has been improved as well in terms of the get. We only need execute and set, and it will do a batch get. I think it's 20 at a time.
Okay.
So that should improve things a little bit.
Okay, thanks.
What modes or planning are necessary to push selected SharePoint user properties back into AD?
Yeah, so if you want to write back to Active Directory, then you do need the user profile synchronization service instance. So that would be the mode you need there. Or you, if it was, it might be an option to consider custom code there if it was just a handful of properties. But if you want it to be done by the system automatically, then you would need user profile synchronization for that, yeah. The way to think about that broadly is just, you know, import would be AD import, everything else, user profile sync.
Hi. I'm running this in an ADFS environment with a different forest, and we always have problems adding users to read other people's sites in the claims accounts, to add the claims accounts later for new domains or new forests that are added.
Yes, so there's quite a lot of work involved there in that scenario. You're going to have to configure the people picker via the command line. And of course, you would need to create a new connection for each of those environments, or each of the domains in the case of AD import. You're still going to need to do those things. There's no kind of get out of jail there, I'm afraid.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a threshold where the AD connector or FIM, as far as the amount of connections you're going to use, is the better option?
Not really. I mean, there's not a software boundary or a technical threshold there. It really becomes a management thing, right? How willing you are to manage the connections within, you know, the screens that I showed. But, you know, remember, we can script the connections now with AD import mode, so it's actually, you know, a lot easier to automate it. So, you know, it wouldn't be fair to say if you have more than 20 connections, then it would be, you know, you should move to a different mode, because that really isn't the case. We certainly still have the same recommendation that you want to have as few connections as possible, but, you know, that's kind of stating the obvious, right? That's like saying, you know, we want as much money as possible, right? I mean, it's it's not really a technical limit. There isn't really any kind of driving factor that would make you choose one over the other from that point of view. It's all, you know, capability driven.
So, and if we have 100 or more?
Yeah, again, it does come back quite a lot to the, you know, the directory service health, and also, of course, you know, any potential ability to even be able to change that. But it would be fair to say, from a manageability point of view, if you have 100 domains, you could do that with one connection with UPS. But you've still got the time it takes to sync to factor in there. In fact, in most cases, if you had 100 domains, you would probably be repeating 80% of the settings for each one. But yeah, it's a valid point because of the cross-forest connection in FIM. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Sven. Are they still using the FIM client, or is it the still kind of sub-build of it? Like, is it the full FIM client?
It's still the SharePoint Lite version of FIM. In fact, the build of FIM that ships with SharePoint 2013 is no different than one of the recent CUs for 2010. So, you know, you can load it up here and it looks the same. Oh, well, I haven't started it, so I can't run it. But it's not been updated, so it's not the R2 FIM. It's not full FIM. If you're interested in leveraging external identity manager, so, you know, another machine which is running Forefront Identity Manager, there will be a announcement on that on Thursday this week.
Okay.
Go ahead, I am listening. I'm just going to refresh the page.
If we indeed start with the AD import and decide for whatever reason to switch to the full UPS, would you bring that connection alongside, delete the old one, upgrade it, and if indeed we need to go back because we realize we don't need that anymore, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so you need to be careful with the going back part of that, right? It really is very much designed so that you do the AD import first, get the users in quickly, and then moving forward you configure UPS for maybe the BCS or whatever reason you're doing it, the export. But then if that ends up being a sort of bad call or for whatever reason you want to switch back, I would strongly urge you to start over, okay? Because you're going to have to do a bunch of, it's not just a question of going into that screen, switching the mode back, and then, everything is hunky-dory. I would strongly recommend, starting fresh at that point, because, you want to clean up all that UPS stuff first, and, you're not making much more work for yourself, because you're inevitably going to hit problems there. So I would always, with the user profile service, but also other aspects of this, things like MMS and search, start clean with the topology. It might take you a while to figure out what that needs to be, and you do it by trial and error experimentation, that's fine. But once you know what your end state is, build it fresh.
Okay. So if you don't go back, it's just as simple as switching the checkbox?
Yes.
And doing an upgrade? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. First, I wanted to thank you for all the work that you've done to make the user profile service usable for many of our environments. And second, I had a question about the disabled users checkbox.
Mm-hmm.
If a user is originally enabled, imported into the profile, and then later becomes disabled, are they removed from the profile on the next synchronization?
Yes. Well, their profile is not immediately removed. It's marked for deletion. And then another process will come along and take care of the actual deletion of it. So you'll actually see the numbers sort of mismatched, right? The total count of profiles won't include those disabled users. Will include the disabled users, the ones that have been recently disabled. But they won't be shown in the managed user profile screen. So they are there, but they're marked for deletion. And then when the My Site cleanup timer job runs, will be when they are actually deleted. So it could be up to an hour by default before that timer job runs and processes the deletions.
So if that account name is reused by Active Directory for a new user, in the interim, will that require manual cleanup?
Yes, you will need to purge non-imported objects and clean that up using that commandlet.
Thank you.
No worries. So sorry to dive in. This is already finished. You can see that it's imported 11,300 users. It didn't take very long at all. I wouldn't have tried to do this with user UPS last year, right? Because, we didn't have much time. So just to wrap up that demonstration, I was expecting a few more, but of course I had the group that I excluded, which I had overlooked. Go ahead.
Yeah, does AD import mode support importing Active Directory stored pictures in the thumbnail photo attribute?
Yes. So you can bring those over and they will be the profile picture in SharePoint.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for coming along this morning. Hopefully the rest of the conference is fun.